Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I could stay there for a lot longer. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Well, we pray for Pastor Tommy in his absence. He has a little stomach bug. He's not feeling well. And so he asked me to teach here in his stead. But guys, I'm just going to share with you what's on my heart. Okay? So it's not, I'm not going to, I'm going to preach. I'll get excited with my voice so you don't fall asleep on me. But how many of us know that we need a move of God? That if we are to survive in this generation, if we're to survive the sufferings of this world and the darkness of this world, that we literally need God to move in our midst. What do I mean when I say we need God to move in our midst? We need him to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. We need him to literally raise the spiritually dead. Many of us were once dead. We know what it is to be dead in our sin, to be devoted to our own happiness and be devoted to our own ways. And God is saying, hey, if you're not awake to what I desire, if you're not awake to what I want, you're actually dead. And we need him to actually move on our spirit. We need him to actually move on our hearts and to wake us up to the true narrative. That he is the one that is working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That we have to love him and be called according to his purpose for things to work out. Good? And I think there, as I'm considering the things that are going on right now, how many of us know that we're in trouble? How many of us know that without God, we're in trouble? I saw this vision the other day. I was praying here a couple weeks ago, and in this vision, God was playing this very complex game of chess. And every now and again, my eyes highlighted this one pawn, and every now and again, he would take that pawn and move it forward. But he would move all these other pieces on the board, and he would orchestrate what the response would be from the other side. That truly, he is in control. That truly, God is in charge. I was praying to the Lord, and I asked him about what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. How many of us have been seeing that? Is that close to home right now? Yeah, I was. And he says, do you think that I was asleep when that happened? Do you think that I folded my arm and I was like, oh, something's happening down there? He says, no. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchers watch in vain. What does that mean? That the Lord knew what was going to happen. And that he's working all things according to his good pleasure. According to his will. All right, let me say it like this. I was listening to a video of the president of Ukraine, and at the end of his video, he says, glory to the men of Ukraine, glory to the defenders of Ukraine, glory to the women of Ukraine, glory to Ukraine. And all of a sudden in my heart, my heart began to turn in intercession, and I said that out of his mouth, he would say, glory to God. That out of his mouth, he would know that there is no other God and there's no other defender of nations like our God. That Russia would know there is no other God but our God. That the Lord would step right in the midst of the wickedness and the lawlessness and the pain and the suffering, and he would declare and he would manifest his plan, and he would tell Russia, he will tell Ukraine, he will tell Europe, he will tell America, there's no other God but me. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's not surprised. He's not displeased alone. I love that God is the only person that can be perfectly angry and perfectly joyful all at the same time. Why is he joyful? Because he knows the end goal. And he's on the chessboard right now, orchestrating all things to his end. Amen. All right. Well, with that said, open your Bibles to Mark 10. When there is a need for God to move in our lives, there is a proper response. That God does not want Spirit Life Church on the outside of what he's doing in his kingdom. That he doesn't want to move and we're going, well, they're getting new wine over there. What about us? They're being healed over there, Lord. What about us? There is a proper response when the Lord is giving an invitation and saying, hey, I've got some things I want to do in the earth. I've got some good news for you. There's actually a proper response for us to receive the things that the Lord wants. Now, I want to take some moment and really talk about how to properly respond to the Lord. It says here in verse 17, Mark 10, and he was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him. In Luke's gospel, in Luke 18, it says a young rich ruler, meaning a religious ruler, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, came, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the teachings. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Don't lie. Do not defraud. Don't cheat. Right? How honor your father and your mother. And he said, teacher, I've done all of these things since I was a youth. I've kept them all. And Jesus, I love this, looking at him, loving him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And it says that the young rich ruler was disheartened by the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Now, I love how it starts here. Jesus was setting out on his journey. This journey that Jesus was on is that Jesus was going to preach. I love how Mark starts his gospel. He says, Jesus went out preaching the gospel of God. And he said, saying, this is the response to my gospel. Believe that it is good news and repent. Right? Now, let me break that down. I asked the Lord, what is the gospel of God? He says, proclaiming the gospel. He says, what is the gospel of God? Tell me why does Mark actually declare he was preaching specifically the gospel of God, the good news about God. What's the good news about God? It says in Isaiah 52 that beautiful are the feet that are that carry the good news of salvation and announces blessing to Zion, saying, your God reigns. Isaiah 52, that's what it says. So Jesus would come to a city and he would say something like this, Israel, your God reigns. Your God is the one who will give you eternal life. Your God is the one that wins salvation. He will forgive your sins. He'll raise the dead. He'll heal your sick. He's declaring the good news about God, that God is not angry with you. He is loving. He is kind and he wants you to be a part of his family. And he says, this is how you respond to this good news about God. You believe, first of all, it's good news. He says, believe my gospel. Believe that it is truly good news. Yeah? Don't worry about the baby. I've got two of my own, so I'm not going to be distracted. We're all family here, right? Okay. So be free. He says, believe my good news, and this is how you respond. Forsake your allegiances to yourself, to your false gods, and give your allegiance to God. Give your allegiance to God. And then he would add on, and he says, whoever will come, follow me. What is he saying there? I want to teach you what it is to respond properly all of your days to God. How many of us know that believing is not doing? Just because knowing is not doing. Just because I know I have to clean my bathroom doesn't mean my bathroom is clean. Right? Knowing is not doing. The same grace, here I'm going to say something, I'm going to sound really smart when I say it. The same grace that justifies is the same grace that sanctifies. Now let me break that down. The same grace that the Lord uses to forgive your sin, the same grace that the Lord uses to change your life, the same grace that the Lord said that the Lord releases to you to make you ready for heaven is the same grace he wants to use to actually change your life. He actually wants to transform you from the inside out. That Jesus said, it's not just believing. He says, many will believe in me, but not many will obey me. He says, it's the believing and the obeying that brings you into eternal life. Are you with me? Okay, so here's I love, he says in Matthew, he says, he says, everyone, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He says, yes, I want you to say, Lord, Lord, I want you to give your life to me, right? I want you to believe in my gospel. I want you to forsake your ways, and I want you to become my disciple so that I can teach you to do the will of the Father. The Lord doesn't want you to just say the magic prayer. I don't mean anything by that, right? He doesn't want to say and give you a ticket to heaven. No, no, no. He wants to lead you on how to do the will of the Father. Are you with me? All right. I don't mean to disparage that. I mean to wake us up to what all that the Lord wants for us. Is that good? So many of us are like the young rich ruler. In a lot of ways, in a lot of areas of my life, I've found myself likened to the young rich ruler. The young rich ruler, usually when you're a Pharisee, you're old, right? You've been doing this for a while, but it seems that the reason why he was a young rich ruler is because he inherited it from his father. Scholars say that the reason why he was a ruler is because that was his daddy's job. The reason why he was rich is because it was his daddy's money. He inherited his position and his possessions. Are you with me? And it says that now he is running to Jesus, hearing his gospel, seeing the good works that he's doing, healing the sick, raising the dead,